Boys and girls, I've got a simple question for you. Do you want a bit before the theme music? Well, if the answer's yes, you're getting one. If the answer's no, you're still getting one. This is it. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode, I don't know, why are you asking me? I just live here, of the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and it's Christmas. I've got a packed show for you. I say that, I don't know. I make it up as I go along. Sometimes it's packed, sometimes it's not packed. Oh, got to do the interactive bit. Are you ready? Here it comes. How you doing? Uh-huh. Yeah. I know, yeah, September, I know, we just round a corner, yeah, I know, the next time you hear me, my viewing figures will be going through the roof, or through the floorboards, or staying the same, thank you, and scene, okay, yeah, I forgot about that, yes, it's got September coming up, haven't we, yeah, not yet, it's still August, my listening figures are still awful, don't worry about that. Okay, so, am I going to do, have I got any preamble? Let's just get on with it. We'll start with this. Here we go.
I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So, I don't know if you were listening to the last episode. I don't know what you do with your life. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But if you did listen, you'll remember that I covered Unwrap You for Christmas by the Monkees, and I talked about it saying that it was their first ever Christmas single. Didn't do very well, but it was their first ever Christmas single. Now, I got an email from Mary Pulte, who's clearly a fan, and she's put, "Thanks for spending the time to cover the Monkees. One of their Christmas songs that I was never aware of until I purchased the Call Yours CD from Rhino Records is Christmas Is My Time of Year. This song always puts me in the Christmas mood. Even though they didn't write all of their songs, they had some great ones. The Christmas Hits album is worth purchasing. With over a million songs sold, they absolutely should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do it before they lose Mickey." And that's a good point, because there's only one of them left. So, yeah. Anyway, it's really interesting that she sent through this song, Christmas Is My Time of Year, by the Monkees, because it's not actually by all the Monkees.
Christmas Day is right.
Now, I don't know a lot about this song, and I don't know if it was a massive hit overseas, in the US, where it was first released, or elsewhere, I don't know. But I'm not going to go into it a great deal, but I did just want to talk about it briefly. Now, I'm going to pretty much go Wikipedia on you. So, this song was originally recorded and released in 1968 by a band called The Christmas Spirit. And The Christmas Spirit was a supergroup consisting of Howard Kalin and Mark Volman, who were in The Turtles, Gary Parsons and Gene Parsons, who were in The Birds, Linda Ronstadt and Cyrus Farrier and Henry Dillitz from The Modern Folk Quartet, and gospel singer Bessie Griffin. Now, I couldn't find out if it charted when it was released. I don't know. But what I did find out was, when the Monkees released their version, which was in 1976, it wasn't actually called the Monkees. It was released under the name We Three Monkees. And this is because they didn't ask permission to record as the Monkees. So the one that was missing was Michael Nesmith. So he still had Davy Jones, Mickey Dolenz and Peter Tork.
Christmas is my time of year.
And like I say, they released it as We Three Monkeys, and it was a vanity pressing on the Christmas Records label, and it was only offered to members of the Monkees fan club by mail order. But it may have also had some retail release, but again, this is one that didn't chart, so I couldn't find out a massive amount about it. So, yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. I didn't want to go into it in great depth. But thanks for letting me know about that, Mary, because I wouldn't have known if you hadn't emailed me that they did have a sort of a Monkees, like just the three of them, when Mike Nesmith didn't want to get involved. But yeah, I thought that was interesting, and I thought I'd share it with you. So, yeah, just a short one there for you, kids. Now let's do this. Well, boys and girls, I've had another letter from another listener, this one from the lovely Jennifer Kay, and this is one of my favourite segments. I don't do this one often enough because people don't send them in. If you did, I'd do them every episode, but you don't, so I can't. Anyway, this one is from Jennifer, and it's really cool, so I'm going to read it out as it says in her email. Hey there, Jack. Hope all is well. I wanted to tell you about the time I found out there is no Santa, and then how my son found out. My mum told me when I was 9 or 10, I had a feeling mum and dad were Santa because all our Santa gift labels were in their writing. Yeah, it's a schoolboy era, that one, isn't it? The thing is, in the UK, you have a stocking at the end of your bed and those are your presents. So you don't need labels on it, you see, because they're your presents. I think in other countries, particularly the States, I think a lot of people, all the presents end up under the tree, and some say from Santa and some say from whoever else they came from. So yeah, mistakes were made there. Anyway, so, sorry, where was I? Oh yeah, I had a feeling mum and dad was Santa because all our Santa gift labels were in their writing. My mum told me not to tell my little sister. She's only 15 months younger than me, so I don't know how much longer mum thought my sister would believe. Now, I don't remember telling my sister, my mum insists that I did, because 5 minutes after mum told me, my sister came stomping out of our room and she was pissed. She was mad at mum and dad because they lied to us. Mum was mad at me because I told her, I guess. I think she overheard, but whatever. So there you go. Yeah. That's how she found out. Mum and dad told her, and her sister finds out because her mum was talking too loud. Well done, mum, you ruined it. And then she's also put this, right? My mum was again the bearer of the Santa news to my son because I was too chicken to tell him myself. Just don't tell him. He's going to figure it out sooner or later. You know, when he has kids of his own and Santa's not coming, he's like, what? What's going on? Why are they not getting presents from Santa? Have my children been bad? That could be what happens. Sorry, where was I? Oh, yeah. Because I was too chicken to tell him myself. He was 11, and I'm still surprised he believed for that long, because his friends at his school at the time were majority Jewish and didn't do Christmas and Santa. Mum took my son shopping and broke the news to him. His response, that's okay, Grandma. I still believe. That's brilliant, isn't it? Got some news for you, kid. There is no Santa. No, there is. No, there's not. No, there is. I still believe, so there is. Yeah, but there's not. There is. Okay? I just told you. Yeah, but I just took... Grandma, are you not listening to what I said? and then she's put, my son is 23 years old with a son of his own, and I have no doubt my grandson will have the most magical Christmases ever. Yeah, well, if your son still believes when he's 23, we could have that situation I was talking about earlier, when your grandson ain't getting no presents because your son's thinking the man in the red suit's going to deliver him. Anyway, thank you so much, Jennifer, for sending that through. I really appreciate it. That is one of my favourite segments. I love reading out those stories. So if you've got your story, email it through, or better still, record it on the voice recorder app on your phone and email it to me, and then I can play it, and it's less work for me. And let's face it, kids, the less amount of work I do, the better the podcast. Speaking of which, now it's time for this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
With the raging global temperatures all over the world, we need to get serious about climate change. Drink alcohol. It saves water. So I suppose I might be cheating today since my example involves Irishmen. So not specifically Brits. Plus, they are hitmen. Yes, I am talking about the very dark but endlessly surprising 2008 Christmas-ish comedy, In Bruges, with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. The two are sent to Bruges in Belgium after a hit goes very wrong and a little boy is accidentally killed. Yes, I told you, Christmas-ish. This beautiful medieval city with its arched stone bridges, sculptures, and canals, is the picturesque backdrop where the movie unfolds. It has humor, pathos, violence, and tenderness, and ends not with despair, but with hope and a chance for redemption. Well, Colin Farrell plays a reluctant visitor who is stuck in Bruges. So when he encounters some stereotypical overweight American tourists who ask him about the view from the Belfry Tower, he responds that it's rubbish and you lot ain't going up there. You're a bunch of effing elephants. So not only were my Yankee feelings bruised, but my inner "do you hear what I hear" voice was roaring as well. Rubbish? This is a normal word used in the UK, both literally and figuratively, but not in the States. We may use a term like garbage for food waste and other icky material, but it is generally meant for things that you are throwing away. Not so true in England. Rubbish takes on a more expansive definition to include dismissing something as worthless, which is how Colin is using it. Americans are likely to use trash similarly to how rubbish is used in the UK. Whereas it literally means the items found in the garbage, it is also used figuratively as a verb to describe something destroyed or damaged, such as trashing someone's reputation or their home. The origin of the word rubbish is traced back to the 1400s, and it is derived from the French word rebousse, meaning waste, broken, or worn out material, especially from the demolition of a building. By the 1600s, rubble came to mean any useless or worthless stuff. But it wasn't until the 1950s when the Aussies and the New Zealanders added ish to rubble to become rubbish, meaning to disparage or criticize harshly. Surprisingly, the word fell out of common use for a while, but since 2010, it has become popular again. It is a colorful and nimble phrase that may be describing something of low quality or not true, or meaning someone who has no skill at a particular activity, or saying you do not agree with an opinion or are criticizing something or someone. I don't know about you, but this all sounds a little like trash talking to me. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, that's interesting because, well, he says it fell out of favour a bit and then it sort of made a comeback in 2010. I haven't noticed that. I've always used the word rubbish. Yeah, it's just a word that gets used all the time. You just use it for rubbish. A lot of our rubbish. I can't think of another word that we would use as much or throughout my whole life. You put it out with the rubbish, put it out with the... We don't say garbage, so yeah. We definitely don't say trash. We do say talking trash a little bit. Not often. Yeah. Do you know what? While we're on the subject, the wife and I, we went to Bruges for our honeymoon. We had like a long weekend. We had a proper honeymoon like a couple of months later. But we had a long weekend away after the wedding. Went to Bruges. It was all right. Yeah. Interesting fact, you can do a tour of the In Bruges film where they like take you to all the places where they shot stuff or they film stuff. And we went to go on it, right? We got there. We were like 10 minutes early. We thought, oh, let's just have a look around the shops. We'll come back in 10 minutes. Got back in 10 minutes. They blooming left early, didn't they? And there's like five other people standing. I go, are you here for the In Bruges tour? Yeah, we're here for them. Yeah. And I spoke to a bloke because you met at this hostel. And he goes, oh, they've just gone. So we're like running around the streets trying to find this tour. Never found it. Ruined the whole weekend. Yeah, anyway. Thanks for that one, Bob. It'll be back later. In the meantime, I'm doing this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is A Christmas Carol 7-minute summary, and I found it on YouTube. Now, it was put up and made, I guess, by a user called Easy as GCSE on the 28th of February 2021. So it's been up there, what's that? Over a couple of years. And their aim is to create animated study guides for GCSE subjects, focusing, GCSE is your general certificate, I don't know what the S stands for, of education. That's what you get in the UK when you're at school, you know, before you go on to do your A levels after that. Anyway, focusing on English literature. And they've got other things on there, like there's Shakespeare stuff, like 7 Minute Macbeth and 7 Minute The Tempest. Actually, were those the only ones I saw? Anyway, so what it is it's actually just literally someone reading it, and at the same time, there is the video running, but there's no talking from the characters. You can see it's a cartoon, and it's a fairly basic cartoon. The characters have got speech bubbles, and most of what they're saying is just emojis. There's a few words occasionally, but mainly it's just they're speaking emojis. And this girl is telling the story, and I wanted to cover it. It's not a massive one, you know, it's only 7 minutes, but I like the idea of this, because ages ago someone sent me an email saying, like, do you think you could do it quicker than 5 minutes? And I reckon I could, judging on this, because she talks quite slowly, so I reckon I could probably. I don't know if I'll ever get around to doing it. I should, but it's like just hassle, isn't it? I'd rather not. It's easier for me to just sit around with my feet up. Laziness in it. I'm sorry, forgive me. Anyway, so I want to run through what is actually covered, and they do a really good job of it. They miss a few beats here and there, but they also do a really good thing. I'm going to play a bit now so you get the idea of how they talk, because they've changed all the language and everything. Okay, so just have a listen to this little bit here.
This miserable scene is interrupted by Scrooge's nephew, who drops by to wish his uncle Merry Christmas and invite him to Christmas dinner the next day. Much to the amazement of his nephew, Scrooge rejects his offer with a "bah, humbug," and expresses his venomous dislike of the holidays.
Okay, so you see, it's pretty basic. That's how they're doing it, and they tell the story as it goes. So, this is what they've got in there. They describe the counting house, and then in comes Fred, and then in comes the portly gentleman, and then we go to the door knocker on Scrooge's house where Marley's face appears. Then obviously Jacob Marley comes in, and he pretty much tells him exactly the same stuff Jacob Marley tells him in the book. Then you've got the Ghost of Christmas Past, and I tell you what's good about the Ghost of Christmas Past is it's very hard to animate the Ghost of Christmas Past, or like in live action it's even harder, but in the book it mentions that like they had the face of a child but also of an old person, and in this it's like a little bit smaller figure than all the others, fresh faced but with long grey hair. So I thought they did a decent job, you know, they gave it a shot. The Ghost of Christmas Past takes us to see Fan when he's at school, and then we see him at Fezziwig's, and then we see him, they don't mention her by name, but we see him getting dumped by his fiance. That's it. So they did miss out one of the beats, you know, the bit where you see Belle when she's grown up and the family she has. Then we've got the Ghost of Christmas Present, and he looks the part. They've done a good job there, and they take us to see the Cratchits, and they do a very good job of that. That is very good. That is one of the bits where there is actually text in one of the characters' speech bubbles, and Tiny Tim, it does say God bless us everyone. So yeah, well done with that bit. Then it takes us to Fred's house, and that's again, it's quite funny if you're really familiar with the book, and you're watching the emojis as they're speaking, and it's like Fred's got this question mark in his speech bubble, and then someone else says a speech bubble of a pig, and yeah, watch it, it'll only take 7 minutes of your life, but it's very funny the way I found it funny the way they did it. They don't actually go to any other places, so that I thought was a bit of a shame, because they could have done that, you know, just quickly, just because they mentioned that they go to other places, but we don't see it, so you sort of forget. But we do see Ignorance and Want under the Ghost of Christmas Present's robe. So I was impressed with that. That's good. Then we got the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. He looks the part as well. That's good. And there's a bit where, you know, the gentlemen are talking in the street about someone who's died, and we don't know who it is, but of course it's Scrooge. One speech bubble is one of these men in the street, and it's just got like a dead person's face there. And then one of the other guys, his speech bubble just says, meh. Which I thought, yeah, that's pretty much accurate, yeah. They're talking about a dead guy and no one cares, so well done. The next scene we see is the scene where you've got the three people going through Scrooge's old stuff. They're not actually at old Joe's parlour. It is just the char lady, the washerwoman, and the undertaker. They're just like looking through stuff, and one of their speech bubbles is just a dollar sign again. I thought, yeah, that's right, I suppose. Then, and this is one you don't see that often, we see the couple that are going to be bankrupt or evicted because they can't pay Scrooge, but they're happy because he's died. You don't often see that, so I was impressed we saw that, and it's covered. Then you see the Cratchits, and they're all pretty sad, and then it takes us to the graveyard, of course. Then Scrooge wakes up, and it says this.
Scrooge leaps out of bed to discover that he has not missed out on Christmas Day after all, and immediately begins to make Christmas plans. First, he sends a prize goose to the Cratchit's house with...
What is that? Why would they make such a basic error? They've done a pretty good job so far, and then he goes and sends a goose. Let me tell you a thing or two. Or just one thing. Two things. One, they've already got a goose. Two, he sends them a turkey. You know that, I know that, they know that, because they've condensed the bloody book. But still, they've said a goose. I'm not going to have a go at them. Well, I sort of am. I'm doing it now, aren't I? I'm having a go at them. Then he gives some money to the portly gentleman, which is nice. Then he goes to see Fred, which is, again, like the book. And then the very last scene is him saying to Cratchit that he's going to give him a raise. So, again, like I say, they followed the book really well. They condensed it, of course, it was only 7 minutes long. But they hit most of the beats, and I was really impressed with that. So this is a good way, if you want to introduce someone to the story, especially young kids that have got, well, 7 minutes might be a bit long for their attention spans, but you want to introduce a kid to it, this is a good way to do it, where they get most of the beats. Yeah, I mean, it's not fun, it's pretty basic, but it is aimed at GCSE students who would be 16 years old, who want to learn the story, but can't be asked to read the bloody book. And it pretty much does that for them. So yeah, I've not got anything bad to say about it. Well, I've said a couple of bad things, but nothing major. I think it's all right. I think you should give it a watch, just so you can have a giggle at some of the emojis that come up. It is a bit of fun, you know, just to watch them. And it's a very basic version. You don't need it in your life. There's plenty of others out there. But if you want to look, check it out. One other thing I want to say, which I might have to watch at one point. They've got another 7 other videos on YouTube about A Christmas Carol, and they like cover different themes, like the theme of redemption. They talk about the most important theme. I don't know what that is, I didn't watch the video, but that's the title. And they've also got analysis of different characters, like for example the ghosts and Fred. So I may well, because of my love of A Christmas Carol, at some point get round to watching all those other videos. Like I said, there's 7 of them I found, and those were a lot longer than the 7 minutes. Actually, most of them are about twice as long, so you know, I'll be looking at well over an hour to watch them all, but I might give them a shot. But anyway, that's this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, which I do think is worth 7 minutes of someone's time. Not necessarily your time, but certainly someone's time. Probably a 16-year-old who's too lazy to read a very short book. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. That's this episode's version. Check it out on YouTube. Now it's time for this. Right, are you ready? I don't care if you're ready. I always say, are you ready? I don't even care. I'm just reading out a joke. I don't even know why I call these jokes. It's just like a string of words that no one laughs at. I'm doing it anyway. How do angels greet each other? They say, "Halo there." Halo. That was the joke. I'm done. Boys and girls, this episode we are looking at a festival from Guatemala called La Quema del Diablo, which means the burning of the devil. And I read somewhere that this dates back to ancient times, even pre-Christian, but then everywhere else while I was reading about it, none of them suggest it was pre-Christian. So I don't really know what to say about that. Anyway, this is the deal. Fire, right? It keeps you warm, it helps you eat, and it can also destroy things. And rituals involving fire are used in nearly all cultures around the world. And often it symbolises purification and transformation. Okay, so with that in mind, this is what happens. So in Guatemala, they believe that the devil hides in the dirt and clutter and dark places in your home. So once a year, all the garbage, like Bob was talking about earlier, all the rubbish, you take it out in the street, and you burn it. And this is like a sign of purification. Now, I've tried doing that. I tried doing it in the house. The wife was furious. I said, "I'm purifying the house." She said, you're an arsonist. She didn't say arsonist. She sort of stopped before she got to the anist bit. But I think you knew what I'm saying there. Anyway, everything gets taken into the street, and what they would do is they'd put a big old effigy of the devil, normally made out of paper mache, and they'd douse it all in gasoline and set light to it and have a big old bonfire. And some people would store old newspapers throughout the year in their garage or somewhere, so they've got loads to burn come December for this festival. Now, the festival of itself, it was earlier in the year. I couldn't find an exact date, but they moved it to the 7th of December because the whole idea is you're burning the devil and purifying everything to make way for the conception of the Virgin Mary. And the conception, the celebration of the Immaculate Conception, is the 8th of December. Now, I don't know if you know much about the Immaculate Conception, because a lot of people think the Immaculate Conception is when the Angel Gabriel came down and put a baby somehow into the Virgin Mary. Now, that's not it. That is not the Immaculate Conception. If you were under that illusion, you're wrong. I was wrong for many years. I only found this out a couple of years ago. If you're a Catholic, you might know more about these things. But the Immaculate Conception was actually refers to Mary's birth. Now, the story goes that her parents were having trouble conceiving, and so Mary was also a virgin birth. Yeah, and that is believed to have, her conception is believed to have taken place on the 8th of December, 9 months before Mary was born 9 months later, which makes sense. Yeah, 9 months before is not 9 months later. Yeah. Anyway, that's the concept, right? So you have these fires, burn the devil, so everything's clean, and the next day Virgin Mary is conceived, and that is the start of the Christmas festivities in Guatemala. Now, the fires themselves are lit pretty much dead on 6 p.m. sharp. Now, one of the places I read that this started not as a purification ritual, but actually it was like people would have bonfires to light the way to church, because it was a big night for everyone to go in and celebrate the Immaculate Conception on the 8th of December. So it was sort of like before streetlights, you just had bonfires so people could find their way to church. Now, the center for all these celebrations is on the Calle de Concepción, which means the road of the conception, and there's a big church there, and that's where that they have like the biggest bonfire. And I read that some of the devils they would have there would be like over 12 foot tall, made out of paper mache, chucked on top of these fires. And it's a huge affair. There's loads of street vendors that are out selling firecrackers and also selling paper mache effigies for you to buy for your own bonfire. And also there's a lot of people out selling food as well. The food that they talked about was, you got buñuelos, I hope I read that right. Those are deep fried donuts that are drenched in anise honey. I'm going to say this wrong, but I've got rompope, that's spiced eggnog, and tortas, which are crusty buns stuffed with meat and fried vegetables. So that's the sort of food that people would be eating this night on the streets as they celebrate. And I read a really interesting bit where they were saying that a lot of these street vendors, not so much these days, but in the old days, I don't know what the old days are, not 10 years ago, 20, 30, I don't know. But the street vendors would come out and they'd be selling firecrackers and devils, and they and their families would live in their street vendor huts from the start of the celebrations then till New Year's, because they'd like after they've sold the devils, or hopefully sold them all, they'd still be selling fireworks and other things to celebrate Christmas and then the New Year. So yeah, and they'd actually live, their small families would live in their little street vendor huts. That's where they'd spend like nearly a whole month. Yeah. Now, Guatemala is still fairly warm compared to, well, the UK, for example. But you can imagine, that's not the greatest place to spend Christmas, you know, with your family. But, you know, it's a way to earn money, I suppose. Now, this festival, very popular throughout Guatemala, but in recent years, it's come under fire because... Come under fire. See what I did there? Yeah, nice. So... What it is in the old days, people would just be burning paper and cardboard and stuff like that. Nowadays, people are burning more and more plastics and that. So you'd be walking around the streets at night and everyone's like coughing and spluttering because people are burning tyres and things like that to make sure their fire was nice and big. And some people in the government have tried to sort of like rein it in. And no one wants to actually eradicate the festival. They still want to keep it going, but they're trying to say to people, look, don't keep burning tyres in the middle of the street. Can you just burn things like cardboard, wood and paper? So, yeah, it's become a bit of an issue. And I was reading that, you know, like it really does get smoggy in the whole city just this one night. So that's pretty much it, really. Like, the whole festival involves just having bonfires with the devil on them that are lit at 6 o'clock. But I read a lovely story how someone was actually talking about their memories of this when they were a child, and they were saying that each year people on their street would have fires, and every year they'd try and have their fire would be the biggest one in the street. And it was cool, he was talking about how they'd build the fire and they'd always have like a pitchfork handy and the garden hose, because one year like a tree had caught fire, so they had to get the garden hose on to blast it all down. And they were saying, sadly, that these days it's not quite as popular as it used to be, and there are still lots of bonfires out there, but a lot of the street vendors aren't there like it used to be, and the festival seems to have toned down a little bit, which is a real shame because it does sound like it would have been a lot of fun. I mean, I wouldn't want to be there the next day when you've got to sweep up all the crud and ash off the road and that, you know, but still, it's, you know, it's your driveway, you clean it up yourself, I suppose. But yeah, that is the burning of the devil in Guatemala. I thought you'd find it interesting. I hope you did. If you didn't, I don't know. I don't know. Now it's time for this. Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Bob is back, boys and girls. And Bob, I just want to say, I love what you are wearing.
Why, thanks, Jack. When people find out that you're a bit of a Christmas nut, they tend to give you gifts with this theme. I know, crazy, right? I've even had friends surprise me with ornaments and decorations at different times throughout the year. It's nice when you hear, "I thought of you when I saw this." And this includes items like mugs. There are so many great holiday mugs. There are Grinch head mugs, elf shoe mugs, Wally World moose mugs. And I have a lot of them. I also look for them myself when on vacation or when traveling to different places for work. It's really interesting what you can find in the novel category. I enjoy a variety of the most unique mugs. So my Christmas every day is to pull out one of these when I have coffee in the morning. There is nothing better than to be taking a sip from my steaming Christmas tree or giant snowflake while I'm sitting outside in the morning sun. Now, if you have a cup of Christmas every day that you want to spill out to Jack, he'll pour over it with me, and we'll serve it up for all of you next episode.
That's another great one. And what's cool about that is you're actually starting your day off with a little bit of Christmas. And, you know, no one other than your family's going to know. You're sitting there having your breakfast with a little cup of Christmas in your hand. I like that one, Bob. Great work. While I'm here, if you're not listening to Bob's podcast, it's the Festive Foreign Film Fans, where him and his buddy Mark talk about festive foreign films. It's pretty straightforward, kids. The clue is in the title. Anyway, if you've not been listening, you've got to check it out. I've been listening. I love it. And I'm sure you'll love it too. So check out Festive Foreign Film Fans. I'll always put a link in the show notes. So have a listen. Thanks again, Bob. I love you so. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Hey, here it is, boys and girls. Everyone's favourite part of the show. Now we're back to the book. The last two quizzes I've done, one was about Scandinavian Christmases, and the last one was just about Santa Claus. Well, this one, I'm back to the book, baby. I'm back to the book. Are you ready? It's very straightforward. I ask you 10 questions. You curse and swear because you don't know any of the answers. Then I read out the answers and you carry on cursing and swearing just because it's fun. And then we move on to the next segment. So, question number one. In which 1992 film does Michael Caine sing the song Thankful Heart? What is the name of that film? Question number two. In 2010... which Scottish female singer had a top 20 album called A Christmas Cornucopia? Whom was that lady? Next one. Now, I'm going to pronounce this wrong on purpose. Not on purpose. It's just how it comes out, kids. I'm going to do my best, though, okay? Here we go. In Germany, what is Ein Weihnachtsbaum? Oh, I thought that was okay. Could have been worse, couldn't it? Could have been a lot worse, actually. What if I said this? in Germany, what is... See, I could have done that, but I didn't. I did my best. Right. What was that noise? Right, next one. Question number... I don't know. Why are you even asking me the question numbers? I'm asking you the questions. Where did Queen... Listen to this. Call this a question. Where did Queen Victoria spend all her widowhood Christmases? My question should also be, how could you not know that? How could you not know that? Very easily, I'm sure. Do you know, if anyone gets that one right, I want you to email me and say, I did actually know that one, Jack. Right, question number... I don't know. We've been through this. I do not know the answer. Which American poet in his poem Christmas Bells wrote, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, they were making a right old racket. No, that's not how it goes, sorry. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Which American poet wrote that? Question something. Traditionally eaten by the French at Epiphany. You know what Epiphany is? That's the 6th of January. That's when the wise men turned up to visit the baby Jesus. What type of food is... Galette de Reyes. Now, I'm going to spell that because I probably pronounced it wrong. A galette is G-A-L-E-T-T-E. Day is D-E-S. And Royce is R-O-I-S. Okay. Question number... I don't know! Stop about the question numbers. Just read the question out. In which decade of the 1800s was A Christmas Carol published? What decade was it? Next one. Released in November 2021, which former Monty Python member stars as John Christmas in the comedy film Father Christmas Is Back? Okay. He was in Monty Python. Then he was in this film. His character is called John Christmas. And it's called Father Christmas Is Back. Number 9 now. See, I know the numbers. To which group of people did an angel say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all men? And the final question is, after Constantine I declared Christianity the preferred religion of his empire, who were the first people to celebrate Christmas? Now, I don't know how true this is, but this is suggesting that the first time Christmas was celebrated was, when after Constantine declared it. Right, that was your 10th question. Shall I give you the answers? Well, I suppose I better. Right. So, question number one. In which 1992 film does Michael Caine sing the song Thankful Heart? That was an easy one, wasn't it? It was a Muppets Christmas Carol. Question number two. In 2010, which Scottish female singer had a top 20 album called A Christmas Cornucopia? I wasn't a fan of what she did with most of these songs, to be honest, but that was Annie Lennox from Eurythmics. I'm sure you've all heard of her. Yep. Question number three. In Germany, what is Ein Weihnachtsbaum? And that is a Christmas tree. And you might be thinking, hang on a minute. I think you'll find a Christmas tree is a Tannenbaum. Well, it's not actually. A Tannenbaum is a fir tree. And they've actually written that in the answers, which I thought was quite impressive. So, yeah. Okay, next one. Where did Queen Victoria spend all her widowhood Christmases? Anyone? Anyone? Do you know what? I don't even know why I put that one in there. I just sort of thought, why not? Why not have a really difficult one? And the answer, of course, is Osborne House on the Isle of Wight. Yeah. And you're kicking yourselves now going, oh, of course it was. I don't live far from the Isle of Wight, actually. I don't live far at all. Yeah. I've been there. Went there last summer for our holidays. Do you know what I did? Went to Osborne House. Yep, no, I didn't. No idea where it is on the Isle of Wight. Question number whatever. Which American poet in his poem Christmas Bells wrote, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. That was, of course, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I did not know that one. No, I did not. Okay. Right, traditionally eaten by the French at Epiphany, what type of food is galette de roi? Well, that is a cake. A king cake. Yeah, because the kings, see, there was a clue there, Epiphany. The kings come, so let's all eat a king cake. Next one, in which decade of the 1800s was A Christmas Carol published? Well, of course, it was published in 1843, so that would have been the 1840s. Next one, released in November 2021, which former Monty Python member stars as John Christmas in the comedy film Father Christmas Is Back? The answer to that is John Cleese. Yeah, and I won't lie to you kids, that film is an absolute pile of shit. Yep, that's right, I said it. It's horrendous. We watched that and it was just hideous. Yeah, so the deal is this, right? John Cleese, he is John Christmas. He's the brother of James Christmas, who is the Father Christmas Is Back. That's who's Father Christmas is, right? He's got four daughters. One of his daughters is Liz Hurley. I forget who the others are. I don't think they're that famous. Not as famous as Liz Hurley, anyway. And I can't remember much about the story. I just remember knowing it is an absolute pile of... I told you the word. I'm not going to use that word again, okay? And do you know what's something insane? It got a sequel the following year. Yeah, John Cleese, he's like, forget it. I'm not doing that again. That's right. I'd rather do Fawlty Towers again than do another one of those. Which he is doing, of course. So do you know who's in it? Right, yeah. Liz Hurley's back, yeah. Of course, Kelsey Grammer's there again, because he's Father Christmas. It's called Christmas in Paradise, right? Do you know who else is there? I tell you, Billy Ray Cyrus. Well done, Billy Ray. I haven't seen it. I'm just going to tell you now, it's got to be as bad as the first one. Well, it couldn't be any worse, but I don't imagine it's any better. Yeah, terrible, terrible film. And it's interesting, Kelsey Grammer, his career, well, since Leaving Frasier, it's not really gone strength to strength, has it? He's done a few naff Christmas films, I've noticed. Yeah, but then he's got Frasier coming out again. He's got a reboot coming out, so, you know, there's that, I suppose. Anyway, where was I? Oh, easy one for you now, kids. To which group of people did an angel say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men? That was, of course, the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. And final question, after Constantine I declared Christianity the preferred religion of his empire, who were the first people to celebrate Christmas? That would have been the Romans. Yeah, apparently, the first people that actually celebrated Christmas were the Romans, which does sort of make sense, I suppose, because as Christianity spread, sort of made it to Rome, I don't know if before then, like in the years before, they were actually celebrating Christmas. So yeah, there you go, that's your 10 questions. Shall I tell you what I scored? I got 6. Isn't that bad? Yeah, do you know what, I won't lie to you, I couldn't remember that Father Christmas Is Back one, right? I thought it was Eric Idle. Yeah, I don't know why I thought that, because I watched the film. Yeah, I got that one wrong. I got the one about the poet wrong, I got the one about Queen Victoria wrong, and I also, I won't lie to you kids, I didn't know that that thing they're eating in France at Epiphany is cake. Yeah, I don't know what I thought it was, just left it blank. Shame on me. 6. Well, there we go. That's the end of the quiz. I hope you've recovered. And that is it for this episode. Sadly, I don't have any recommendations because I've just been listening to the same podcast the last two. Well, I've been away for 1 week since I last spoke to you. I had a week off with the family. So yeah, since last episode, I've not been listening to any new podcasts. So I've got nothing to recommend. So I guess this is just me saying goodbye. Are you ready? Goodbye. If you want to get in touch, the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com, or you can go on the website, totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry Happy Christmas!
My friend and our guests, we came up for the snow. Where are you keeping it?
Well, we take it in during the day.